This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera. And, well, it's been a wild week and a wild couple. I mean, I don't know. It's been a wild season to be a Real Madrid fan, huh? But before we get into all of that, just some social media and where you guys can contact us and everything like that. So, of course, you can find us on social media at Y Nada Más Podcast, and that is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So, once again, that's at Y Nada Más Podcast. Hey, man, give us a like, give us a follow. Some of y'all are lagging behind, man. But we're just trying to build it up. For me, it's all about quality, not quantity. So, slow goes the race. And we're just trying to build this thing up. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I mean, I appreciate all the support we've been getting. I appreciate, you know, all of you that are giving us a follow and retweeting and all that. Shout out to my man, Trombach B. We're all very happy having him on board. He's one of our contributors. You guys probably know him as That Madrid Guy on Twitter. He's also on Instagram and stuff, but he's been helping us out writing some articles. He just put out an article right now on our page. It's basically Sevilla versus Real Madrid post-match recap, and some player ratings there as well. I'll probably go through a little bit of them, but you can check it out on our website, which, by the way, is enadamas.net. That's where you can find news. You can find our episodes of the podcast. So if you want to tell your friends to listen to us and they don't have a smartphone or they don't have a you know, they don't know how to listen via any of the apps, they can always check us out on the website. As well, you can also hit us up on our email address, which is info@enadamas.net for any inquiries, any suggestions, anything like that. You can always hit us up there as well. And in addition to that, obviously, leave us a comment, leave us anything, send us a DM, whatever, through social media. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us. I myself personally am pretty involved on Twitter and then on Instagram and Facebook. We have two guys putting out some designs and stuff here and there. And also Trombach, of course, is writing for us. And we're always on the lookout for other writers that want to help join the team. And we're continuing to grow this thing, man. So we're really enjoying it. And you know, Madrid Nation is a strange one at times. And especially, I think, right now, it's a really odd time, as I always say. It's kind of a good time and a bad time to be a football fan. I think it's you know, so let's get into all of everything that's been going on. So we named this podcast Ups and Downs because that's what's been going on with Real Madrid as of late. It's been all about ups and downs. You know, we're, I guess, feeling terrible one week, and then we're feeling elated, or not even one week. We're feeling elated, you know, after one game, and then we're feeling terrible after another, and then it just goes up and down. It's almost like, I don't know, you know, it's like bipolar disorder, you know. I don't like to make light of that type of stuff, but it is. It's like, you know, you get your manic moments and your depressing moments, and that's kind of what it is. That's kind of how Madrid feels as of late. It's funny because you have one game where you play against Inter where you look fantastic and everybody thinks, you know, we've turned a corner. And then all of a sudden you have a terrible game, the likes of what we did against Alaves. And then you have another terrible game, the likes of what happened with Shakhtar. And then, you know, everything's on the line and we have to play a tough team, you know. And that's kind of been the thing lately. You know, it's been funny because I read all these pundits. I listen to El Chiringuito. I listen to, you know, the Locker Room, which is obviously on BN Sports, which is how most of us get our La Liga fix here in the United States. So you listen to all these people, you listen to all these pundits, and they kind of agree with the same thing. It's like Madrid shows up when their ass is on the line. It seems like that's what's going on. It's like when the team's ass is on the line or Zidane's ass is on the line, they show up, or they show up against teams that, you know, are pretty much the bigger teams, you know. And by bigger teams, I mean, you know, obviously Sevilla, Inter Milan, Barcelona, you know, they're showing up against those sort of, we've seen them show up against those teams. And then, you know, we fail against Cadiz, we fail against Alaves, you know, which with all due respect with Cadiz, I mean, I think they've been kind of a surprise this season. So I don't, you know, we can't hate on them completely. I mean, they just beat Barcelona this weekend. Obviously Barcelona hasn't been playing great. But that's why I'm saying it's a strange time, obviously, to be a football fan, because I think what it is this has been that time where really nothing is set in stone. I think this, in a lot of ways, coronavirus has kind of, I don't know if it's helped. I mean, obviously you don't want to say that it's helped do anything positive, but there are things that, you know, you could take away from such a situation and look at the positives of it instead of the negatives. But, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting is we look at what COVID has done, and essentially when it comes to football, it's almost been like a big reset. So, you know, it's, you know, the same way that COVID as a disease or as an illness or as a virus, you know, takes no prisoners in the sense of it doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old, it doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you're a huge politician, as we've seen here in the United States, or somebody who's, you know, just working the cashier at a grocery store. COVID, everybody can get it. Anybody can get it. You know, so with that way, it's kind of that it's taken no prisoners in the same way where we've seen it affect teams, pretty much every team across the board. It doesn't matter if you're a rich team or, you know, a big team like Real Madrid. It doesn't matter if you're a small team, you know, like Deportivo La Coruña or somebody, you know, like in that it's now in third division, but, you know, they were affected by quite a few people getting sick, and Fuenlabrada and all these other teams in Liga Smart Bank were also hit hard. You know, in Italy, a lot of teams were hit hard, some big, some small. I mean, you're seeing it all over the place. And it's kind of been a big reset because, as I've talked about in the podcast before, you have, you know, this issue this year where it's not only teams are not only getting hit with coronavirus, but they're also getting hit with injuries. I think this, you know, this accelerated schedule that we've seen so many coaches have been angry about, especially in the Premier League, such as, you know, Jurgen Klopp, and have come out and talked about Pep Guardiola, and then in the Bundesliga, Hansi Flick from Bayern Munich has also said it too. You know, that it's this accelerated schedule of having games pretty much, you know, if you're in the Champions League, you're pretty much having two games a week, you know, and you're flying from one place to the other. And not only that, they haven't stopped international break. And so really it's leaving you susceptible not only to injuries, but to COVID. And then not to mention, you know, a lot of these guys didn't get preseason. They didn't even get that much of a break on the off season. So it's been that strange thing that's been happening. So a lot of teams have been thrown into the mix in very difficult ways. And what I mean by thrown into the mix in the sense is all the teams have been thrown into this, you know, kind of a situation, whirlwind of a situation. But the one thing I heard the other day that I kind of agreed with was that it's kind of like with Real Madrid. So you have Champions League, you know, you have the players, a lot of them going to represent their international teams or their national team, sorry. So they're going, you know, they're playing on the international break. And then you also have them in La Liga. Whereas teams like Deportivo Alaves, Cadiz, you know, these teams that don't have to go to Europe, they're not playing in Europe. And then most of their players, let's say their players, are not getting called up for their national teams because they're not, you know, part of like the starting 11 that the national team would pick up. So they're coming to these games pretty fresh. You know, they're coming to these games with a 1 week of rest. So they're not losing their best players. They're not worrying about, you know, having to really not worrying that they can't push it to the limit in the sense of, you know, going hard if they can, you know, they don't have to rest, or they don't have to feel, the coach doesn't have to feel like, oh, well, I have to save this guy for this next week's game or the game that I have midweek. So really we're in this situation where a lot of these teams, you know, you also look at, well, I mean, Real Sociedad is involved, but you're seeing this is involved in Europe. I'm sorry. But you're seeing that some of the teams that we weren't expecting to do as well this season are doing really well, such as Cadiz, such as Alaves, or are causing headaches. I'm not saying they're doing totally well per se, but they're causing headaches to the bigger teams. And that's what's been happening. And I agree with that. I think this obviously this compressed situation, you know, there's a lot of anxiety out there in the world, but then there's also, you know, this back-to-back-to-back games, and that's taking a toll on our players. And I think that's where Madridistas, sometimes we get, I think there's so many things that are so reactionary from Madridistas, especially with Zidane and with the team and you know, and I get angry too, guys. I mean, seriously, like, you know, I was going to do a, I always try to say I'm going to do a podcast during the Champions League games, but the Champions League has been such a absolute horseshit for us. It's been so terrible that every single time they've played those games, I've been absolutely miserable afterwards, and I don't want anything to do. Like, you know, my team and I, we're like, you know, we have our day jobs, we have our kids, you know, we have our kids playing football, they're, you know, they're at least, they're going out there and playing and stuff, but, you know, we're so miserable after those games that we're like, ah, man, I don't even feel like I want to do that. And obviously it's, you know, sometimes I want to do it. I mean, really my goal is to, my goal and that of the team is to kind of leave it to one podcast a week, because essentially, like what I'm saying is, this is not our full-time job. We have other things. We have other full-time jobs, thankfully, in this situation. But, yeah, so I try to leave it at one a week, but I always say, you know, I'm going to do one for Champions League. I'm going to do, and I think I've done one or two midweek ones. But then I just wasn't motivated whatsoever to do them after, you know, that Shakhtar loss, you know, last week. And then, I think the Borussia game, the Mönchengladbach game, I think Inter Milan, I wanted to do it, but, and then, it was Thanksgiving. So, you know, those type of things always come in, and I'm trying to say, you know, hey, I'm trying to get the guys to do it, but then, you know, they're off on a holiday or they're doing other stuff. So, you know, and then it's been just such up and downs and ebbs and flows. And I, you know, I get emotional with these things, man. I get pissed off and I don't want to, and sometimes I always like to say, you got to let cooler heads prevail, because a lot of times on Twitter, what we'll see is, you know, so much hatred and so much vitriol comes out right after one of the games when we perform badly. And it's so many things that come out, such as, you know, I mean, a lot of things I agree with, given especially now, but I think the one thing I don't agree with is the constantly calling like for Zidane's head, because honestly, I feel like there is, and here's where I'll be clear on this. This is after the Shakhtar game, I was like, oh shit, you know, he's going to get canned. And part of me was like, oh, well, whatever happens, you know, because you're just in that really angry state. But it's good to kind of step back and then look at things and analyze things and realize, you know, what is the solution? What is changing Zidane really going to do? And I would tell you guys, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to save. It's not going to change anything, because you're going to bring in a guy who's going to, like, let's say, okay, so let's say they bring in Pochettino if they get rid of Zidane. What is Pochettino going to be able to do that Zidane couldn't, you know, especially given the status of, you know, players with injuries? You know, bringing in Pochettino doesn't automatically or miraculously bring Hazard back or solve his issues with injuries, doesn't miraculously bring Fede back, doesn't mean all of a sudden all the players are going to start firing on all cylinders again, you know? Some of the things I have just been, and I've said it before, it's, I mean, looking at, and here's the other thing. I mean, looking at Luka Modric, and I guess know already by now that I have a bias for Luka Modric, but, you know, but Luka Modric and Toni Kroos are just those guys that are aging like a fine wine, that they just are just getting better and just looking more amazing with each game. And I always feel like it's almost sad that you know, we're relying on the guys that essentially we're trying to, well, let's say if we're Luka Modric, essentially we're trying to, I would say, kind of phase him out in a sense where, yeah, we want him to be on the team, but he's going to be more of a sub and maybe lead the midfield and some of the younger midfielders to be a part of Real Madrid. You know, and anything, he's kind of shown up and, you know, I think he's trying to show Madrid that he deserves to be here. And I really hope they renew his contract. I was reading right now on Twitter, I think there was like something like, sorry, there was something like 89% or 90% of Madridistas agree that his contract should be renewed for another season. And I'm all for it. I mean, the guy, if anything, the guy has shown why he is, bar none, one of the best, or should be considered amongst the best midfielders that have ever played for Madrid, and as well should be considered currently one of the best midfielders in the world. He has been considered that for quite some time, but I mean, he is in that conversation just for, there's just so much. I mean, everything we talk about as Madridistas about a player needing to have to play on this team is, and especially in any game, everybody loves a player that seemingly leaves his heart on the pitch every single game. You know, it doesn't matter if the team's playing badly or if the team's playing well. It seems like there's a constant person that you can go like, well, he did his job, but the rest of the team didn't, you know. And Modric just seems to be that guy. And Modric and Kroos, I would say, seem to be the two guys that have been our two mainstays in the sense of always just having immaculate passing and playing extremely well and fighting for the ball and trying their hardest to turn the team around. And not only that, I mean, I think they're also the players, especially like in this case, Toni Kroos has come out and said it too. Toni Kroos has been, in a lot of ways, the guy who's been getting out in front of the cameras and talking about the situation needing to be turned around in Madrid. And Modric has said as much too, you know, that they were not playing. They haven't been playing up to par, let's say. So they're also that sense that they, you know, in Spanish, I say they say dan la cara. So, you know, they show face. Basically, they basically come out and they face the music and they're like, yeah, you know, we need to do better. Casemiro does too, and I appreciate that about him. I wonder about Casemiro too because he hasn't been at his best, and I just wonder, you know, I mean, a lot of people talk about him having, you know, obviously he had COVID, so it's really that, you know, there are people that say, you know, there are people that have COVID and there's like lingering effects afterwards, and we're wondering, hey, is that something that's going on with Casemiro, or is it just a dip in form? Who knows? But, you know, I think Casemiro is one of those other guys that's usually a mainstay in doing and playing well. But he's been sort of, just like Madrid, he's been up and down lately. So let's get into the Sevilla game. Really nothing. Really the one thing that struck me in this game was, I wouldn't say, and you know, I don't know if people are going to kill me for it, but I wouldn't say that Madrid necessarily played well. I think it was more of a game for Sevilla to lose rather than it was for Madrid to lose. It seems, it seemed more like Sevilla lost the game and not that Madrid won the game, if you get what I'm saying. So it's almost like Lopetegui didn't plant his team well, and you know, Madrid just did what they had to do and they ended up winning you know, in what was essentially a good play but a fluke of a goal, in a sense that it was an own goal by Bono, Sevilla's goalkeeper. So I mean, really that's kind of how I felt throughout the game. I mean, solid defensively, Nacho showing up again, showing, you know, that thing that he's shown lately, especially at center back. He didn't do a good job being a substitute right back, but he's done a pretty good job, a pretty solid job being the sub center back for Sergio Ramos, stepping in and, you know, just being kind of all over the pitch and, you know, making sure he's covering his lines really well and he's doing well. Him and Varane played really well this game. Mendy was fantastic again. He absolutely had Jesus Navas in his pocket. Jesus Navas, who obviously is getting older, but has also been somebody who's aged really well and is playing, you know, he's still playing for, you know, he's still playing for the national team, the Spanish national team. He's kind of refound his form now playing as a right back in Sevilla. He's really doing, you know, he's doing pretty phenomenal and, you know, his link-up play with Lucas Ocampos. But, you know, Mendy kind of kept him, stopped him from really being able to and you know, did a good job of keeping Lucas Ocampos there as well, kind of stopping that right flank, which is pretty deadly considering Lucas Ocampos and Jesus Navas are pretty solid players. And Mendy was doing a pretty fantastic job there with those two guys. So I really liked Mendy's game. Lucas Vázquez was also phenomenal. Lucas Vázquez again is another player that, you know, I was talking so much shit about him. I think for many seasons I talked crap about him being, you know, here and there, but he's shown up this season. When we've needed him, he's shown up and he's doing a great job as our backup or not even like our third string, basically our third string right back. You know, he's had to improvise at that position, although he's played that position obviously before, but he's had to improvise and be our third string right back, and he's doing a solid job of it. So our defensive line was really good. Luka Modric and like I said before at the beginning of the podcast, obviously, Luka Modric and Kroos have been phenomenal, not only this game, but just throughout the season. And then obviously I think having Benzema, the one thing is, you know, the problem is he's so alone, because I don't think it's not the same as when we had La BBC, which you have, you know, Cristiano and Bale and those three guys just rotating positions and all of them are equally solid. And, you know, obviously Cristiano being a goal machine and, you know, Bale in his prime as well, scoring whenever he wanted to as well. So you have three guys that essentially are just amazing at what they do. And a Benzema who likes to drop back and create for the rest of the team. So, and for create in that sense, in that time, to create for other forwards, such as Cristiano and Bale. And now you don't have that. So you essentially have a Benzema that drops back to assist the team and then has wingers such as Rodrigo, Asensio, and Vinicius, who aren't really doing much of anything, to be honest with you. And I would say, and not that they're bad, because I would say, honestly, I think Rodrigo has shown that he deserves that starting right wing spot more than, way more than Asensio at this point. Asensio hasn't done much. His best game was essentially against Shakhtar, which didn't really do anything because we lost the game. That was essentially his best game, and that's it. You know, I don't think I've seen anything from Asensio, and this is a guy that the other day, I think Real Madrid posted on their official Instagram account, like everything that Asensio has done for, you know, scored for Real Madrid, and this is a kid who came in and everybody thought he was going to be the next big thing, and then somewhere and somehow that just stopped, you know. And obviously, you know, he had a devastating injury a season ago, and he came back and everybody was happy to have him back, and then it just hasn't been the same since then. So Asensio really hasn't been performing, you know, in a way that we could say is really helpful to the team whatsoever. You know, I think Rodrigo being in that spot, as I said, I think Rodrigo's more of a complete player. I think Rodrigo is a more complete player in the sense that I feel he's more confident on the ball, more so than Vinicius, in the sense of more confident with his finishing And also, I think he's more confident with his passing. He's a little bit more, I think he's a little bit more calm. He's a little bit more cool-headed in that final third than Vinicius. I think he's, you know, I've heard people say, you know, he's a more well-rounded player than Vinicius. And I can say I believe that. The one thing that you could see that Rodrigo is lacking, that Vinicius is not lacking, is that, like I said, I always like to use that word recklessness, but in the best possible way, which is the recklessness in the sense that he's fearless, that he wants to go. And I'm talking about Vinicius now. Obviously, Vinicius is more interested, or, you know, more confident in, you know, going for the dribbles and going for, you know, attacking the defenders and, you know, really taking on defenders. He's more confident in that. And that seems to be his, you know, when he's on the run and he's quick and he's got the ball at his feet, he's interested. I mean, he's confident up until he's cleared the defenders. You know, it's almost once he's left the defenders and he's on his own, and it's almost like the kid fears open space. So what I've seen a lot of Vinicius as of late is, that we've been seeing is, you know, he just doesn't know how to make the decisions in that final moment. It's almost like the event gets too big for him. He doesn't know whether he's going to pass. He doesn't know whether he's going to shoot. He doesn't have enough confidence, I think, in his shooting. I don't think he has enough confidence in his passing. I do think, you know, maybe the situation with Benzema was a little bit of a detriment to him and you know, dealing him kind of a blow to his confidence. Because in a way he knows, I think in a way he knows Benzema is looking at him now, as kind of like, what are you going to do, kid? What's next? You know? And I don't think this game against Sevilla helped that more, but maybe a little bit. Cause I mean, Vinicius in the first half, if we really kind of extrapolate like what happened in the first half, I mean, he shot across the goal and it missed, you know, just by inches. And then there was the mistake by Bono that Benzema couldn't place the header, and then Bono kind of mishandled the ball and Vinicius couldn't strike it. And he kind of like, well, he, I mean, it didn't, that Bono kind of mishandled it, but it was able to take it like inches away from where Vinicius would have caught it on the bounce. So there was that. And then there was also, you know, the pass, I forgot who the pass was from. I believe it was from Rodrigo, where Vinicius then dummies the ball. So he lets the ball go through, and then Benzema shoots on goal, and Bono, it forces Bono to do like an amazing save, which essentially was probably the best, probably the closest chance we had on goal. Well, one of the more solid chances we had on goal in the first half, which was from Benzema. And then Vinicius does another dribble also, but he doesn't, like, once again, he kind of stalls and doesn't know what to do with it. So he ends up passing it back to Kroos, and Kroos shoots wide, a curler wide of the goal, which would have been a beautiful shot. And, you know, we're used to seeing those from Kroos too, but that one didn't go in. So there were those highlights and those things where you see that there is talent there. It's just how long is Madrid and Madridistas willing to wait? You know, we're still saying, oh, he's a young kid. You know, he's what, 20, 21, you know? So it's like, how long are we going to wait to see that? And the thing is, Madridistas don't wait. You know, we don't wait to see these projects take hold, especially in a season like this where things have been going up and down. And that's the thing. That's where I said, like, I feel like in Benzema, in a lot of ways, is alone. He's the creator. He's trying to do things. So he's trying to create, but he's also trying to goal score. He's also trying to score goals. You know, you have, amazing players like Kroos and Modric in the midfield. And you also have, you know, when Odegaard is playing, I think Odegaard brings some more creativity to the mix, but it's essentially Benzema dropping back. I mean, if we really look at, if you look at the goal that was scored, it was the own goal by Bono, even though I think, you know, I think Vinicius being there and making the run on goal, which caused the first goal and the only goal of the game, I think Vinicius being there and taking a run at the ball probably put Bono way very off his game at that moment. Because you see this kid running into the goal and he was sliding to kick it in. So I think that probably put him off a bit. So I do feel like it was, you know, partly Vinicius' goal, but because I think, I don't know if he touched it was it like a glancing blow? I mean, I didn't really see it. I didn't really see him touch it, but I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think he somewhat kind of glanced it, but either way, it was more Bono mishandling the ball. But if you see where that, goal started from, it started from a sense, you know, a beautiful pass, Benzema dropping back with his back to goal, sees Mendy making the run on the left-hand side and basically, you know, lobs a pass right into Mendy and right into Mendy's, you know, into Mendy at full stride. And then basically Mendy passes across, makes the pass to the goal, and Vinicius tries to touch it, whether he touched it or not, but it ends up, you know, bouncing off Bono and going in. So essentially it was Benzema, like, who created that situation. And so really, you know, that's where it goes again. It's like Benzema, once again, I feel like a lot of people hate on him. Some people hate on him, but it's because, like, you're not going to get another player like Benz that is going to do all of that hold up play, trying to drop back and set up, you know, make plays and set up plays. Because a lot of times I feel like there's just not confidence in the other wingers right now, which is, in reality, do you blame him? As a Madridista, do you blame Benzema for feeling that way? No, I don't. I think there is a lack in that final third, in the sense of our forwards are not all there. So, you know, we have Vinicius on the left, Rodrigo on the right, who I think has earned that, and I think is probably the one who should be starting on that position more so than Asensio. And then I think, you know, obviously Hazard, when he's healthy, will be in that position on the left. And, you know, we've already seen when Hazard was already starting to look good, which is why it's so sad to see what's going on with him. And we have Vinicius, which I still think he has, there's got to be time to be given to him to mature. I don't think the idea for Real Madrid was to throw Vinicius, especially having somebody like Hazard. I don't think the idea was to have him be playing an out-and-out starter day in and day out for, you know, all the time. The idea was to have Hazard in that position and Vinicius to come on. And it's really been a situation where, you know, now Vinicius has had to take that role, and I don't think he's up for it yet. I still think he needs time to mature, whether that's going to be at Madrid or they're going to bring in somebody else. I mean, I don't know. I really do feel like I kept on saying, I think that, and a lot of people have said it as well, I think this team is good enough. This team is good enough to beat the teams that we're losing against, as funny as that sounds. I really do feel we should be beating teams like Cadiz and Shakhtar and Alaves and all these teams, and we're not. And that's really, it's not a thing, it's not a strategy. It's not an issue with tactics in a lot of ways. I think it's really an issue of attitude, where we're just not seeing the rendimiento. We're not seeing the skills come out from the guys that we were expecting, these young players that we were bringing in and that we're expecting to see so much from. We're not seeing it from Rodrigo. We're not seeing it from Asensio. We're not seeing it from Vinicius. I think if we look at the young players that were brought in, I think Mendy's the only one that's really shown up. I think we've seen some flashes from Odegaard, who unfortunately, you know, was injured. So, you know, we've kind of seen him off and on, but, you know, and in the midfield is pretty stacked as is. And in the sense, we already have, you know, we have Valverde out, who's one of the players that needs to be on the field. So he's another young player that has shown up. But really, where the players that have decided to show up this season are the players that are veterans, you know, the players that we didn't expect or that we didn't want to give them so many minutes. Those are the ones that have had to show up. And it happened again with Sevilla. We saw that in the defensive line. You know, it's Lucas Vázquez. Obviously, he's not a veteran, but he's been at the team now for a while. You're seeing our defensive back line is the one that did their work there and did it well. Mendy, like I said, is one of the stars that has come on and essentially been very, 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 very solid. that I think, let's say he was a, you know, a good buy in that sense, because obviously Marcelo has not been a veteran that has been performing well. But Modric and Kroos have been doing what they need to do in the midfield, you know, and then you have Benzema up top, and then Hazard is injury prone. The young guys that we were supposed to bring in as let's say Jovic is, we don't know what's going to happen with him. As much as I hate that, because I, you know, I would love to see him, you know, shine the way he did at Eintracht Frankfurt, and who knows what happened there. I don't think it's a question of not being talented. I think it's a question of, you know, sometimes players adjust to the system and don't adjust to the system. Some players are made for Madrid and some players are not. Some people come in and are young and come in and just fit like a glove at Madrid, and others don't. It takes time. I think it's a big ask, you know, and Jovic can't answer the call. We haven't seen it yet. And I think, you know, if Madrid ends up investing in a guy like Haaland, I mean, that's definitely going to be somebody that, you know, means that Jovic is not going to be in the, you know, he's not going to be in the conversation anymore. You know, if we bring somebody like Mbappe, you know, I don't think you're going to have Rodrigo in the conversation as much anymore, or Asensio. Because I can think essentially they can play on the right, Hazard on the left. If we get Mbappe, I mean, Haaland in the middle. That would be ideal. I don't think that's going to happen. But it goes to show, I mean, so with Sevilla, I mean, like I said, it was more, I feel like, just a dud of a game by Sevilla and a solid defensive, sort of a solid defensive game by Madrid, and did just enough to create the chances that were needed in order to score a goal. That I think, you know, most of that goal, to be fair, was really merit to Madrid. But it was, at the end of the day, an own goal caused by Bono mishandling the ball. But essentially, that whole situation was created by Madrid. So, you know, we did adjust enough to win the game and take those 3 points, which were much needed, and get that confidence boost before the Borussia Mönchengladbach game, which I think is the most important. And now it remains to be seen, how are we going to face that Borussia Mönchengladbach game? You know, which is, you know, we've talked a lot about do or die, or life or death. And it's insane, once again, that Madrid, that we're talking about Real Madrid fighting for their lives in the group stage of the Champions League. I mean, when was the last time we were fighting for our lives in the Champions League, like where we have to say this is a do or die match in the group stage? You know, that's kind of sad. Or, I mean, it's not kind of, it is sad. And that's where we're at currently with Madrid. And that's why it's, like I said, it's sad, and it's a tough situation as Madridistas to be in. But we have to look at it that this is, like, once again, I say it's a strange year. There's so many different things going on. There's so many different problems. That's why I say, like, people who rush to judgment to say that it's, you know, it's a problem with Zidane, you know, it's a problem with the management, or it's a problem with just one player, or, you know, it's such a combination of things that I don't think it's enough to, you can't just point it at one. Nobody's a scapegoat, you know? And I've always hated about football is this idea of changing the coach so rapidly. You know, in this case, obviously, Zidane has given us so much, and this is his second stint as Real Madrid. And the reason he hasn't been sacked yet is obviously because he's done so much for Madrid, both as a player and as a coach. So, you know, he's kind of got that. He's kind of made of Teflon in a way, in some sense. But now we're starting to see those chinks in the armor, you know. And it's kind of, you know, it's getting to a point where he can't save his ass as much anymore. Now, like, he's in the hot seat. But it's almost like he's in the hot seat, but it's I don't know. It's not even, I don't even feel like it's Madrid that wants to, I mean, it's not even Madrid in the sense of the organization that wants to get rid of him. It's the pressure by the media. It's the pressure by other Madridistas. And it's just like, oh, we have to get rid of him. We have to get rid of him, because it's the idea of instant gratification. You know, you need to see something change because you want to avoid the slide, but you don't understand that there, you know, people just don't look at the bigger picture, in the sense they don't look at, number one, what else is going on in the situation? What else is going on in the world right now that's causing these players to not perform to the best of their ability? Like, what's going on? What are the other things that are going on? Besides Zidane, if you feel that Zidane is the issue, what else is going on? He's not the only issue. Like I said, taking Zidane out and putting Pochettino in isn't automatically going to make Asensio perform, isn't automatically going to make Vinicius perform, isn't automatically going to make Rodrigo perform, isn't going to miraculously bring back Fede Valverde and Hazard. You know, isn't going to miraculously stop injuries or COVID. So those types of situations, people don't take them into account. So you're just like, oh, well, we have, you know, we might have better tactics. And okay. And tactics for what? With what? I mean, what are you going to do with that? Are we going to squeak by with wins? Are we going to be able to score more? I mean, we've already seen, like, we're trying to squeeze as much as we can out of the players as it is. And I think Zidane is doing the job that he can do with what he's got. And I don't think bringing in another coach is necessarily going to change any of that. You're telling me he's going to squeeze more out of those guys? I don't know. I think that's why it's premature to sort of say, you know, we need to get this done now. But I fear it, because, and essentially, it's probably going to happen. If we lose against Borussia, I think it'd be very difficult for them not to get rid of him. Because I think the calls for his head are going to be, especially, you know, missing out on the Champions League, is going to be very rough. I think his head will be on the chopping block, because the organization will feel they need to do something. And what's going to be that something in the eyes of Madridistas is getting rid of the coach. But it's not going to solve the situation at all. We're going to be having the same conversation that we're having right now, of attitude of players, of, you know, injuries, and all this type of stuff is still going to continue happening. It might be better, but it could be worse. So that's where I kind of hope, as a Madridista, I do hope we win against Borussia. I hope we pass on to the group stage. And then I hope, you know, Zidane makes it to the January transfer window. And that's where I feel that Madrid does have to do something in this January transfer window. You know, there was talk about bringing in David Alaba, I think that's gone now. There's been talk, obviously, about Camavinga coming in as a backup for Casemiro. You know, obviously, you know, the Mbappe and Haaland conversation is something that, you know, we want, but it's, I just don't know who else is going to come. And then I know there's this, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I know, you know, they've been interested in bringing in Dominic Szoboszlai, I think is how you would pronounce it, or Szoboszlai, from RB Salzburg, not RB Leipzig, but RB Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg from Austria, the Austrian Bundesliga. And, you know, I like the guy. I've seen a lot of highlights and stuff of his. It looks like, you know, he's got quick feet. He's got vision. He's got a great right foot, you know, definitely for scoring, you know, definitely he has scored some screamers. He's scored some beautiful free kicks. He's definitely, like I said, he's quick with his feet. He knows how to make the right pass. He's a tall kid, young as well, 20 years old, you know. But these are the things. It's just like, some of these guys come up and they're emerging stars in Europe, and, you know, a lot of people are calling on them and trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do with them. And there's already supposedly been, you know, Zidane telling him he's going to have a big role at Madrid. But it's, I mean, I see him as like, if he comes, is he's going to be, you know, is Odegaard going to get playing time? I know. So what I've heard from some of, you know, the people who've been following Szoboszlai for quite some time is he also likes, you know, he plays more of a center midfielder, but more on the left. So he's more of a left midfielder. But a lot of times it looks like they deploy him as a as an attacking midfielder as well. So he's almost like an Odegaard. I mean, in our way of playing, if he's in a 4-3-3, he's going to be an attacking. He's going to be a midfielder. You know, we don't play the 4-4-2 as much. So, I mean, that would be interesting to have him on the left-hand side. But, you know, and I, like I said, he's an interesting player. The problem is he's one of those young guys, and that's the thing. You know, you take a risk with these young players, especially a guy who's sort of a, like I said, I like him, and I want, you know, you always want to bring solid players to Madrid. But we have, there's a lot of things that happen is like sort of these, you know, is he the guy, is he having a great season and that's kind of the extent of his abilities, or is he really a future star in the making? Apparently Zidane thinks from the rumors is that he thinks, you know, that this kid is a star in the making. Now, I like a lot of what I've seen from him, but we have to remember, and I hate saying, you know, I don't believe in saying, you know, this is a farmer's league or anything like that. But I do believe, obviously, it's just like anything. You know, people say there are levels to this game. And essentially, there are levels to this game in that Szoboszlai is playing for the Austrian Bundesliga. And he plays for Salzburg. So who is he going up against? You know, you see these flashy technical skills that he's pulling off against defenders in the Austrian Bundesliga. He's scoring these screamers. He's making these, you know, really visionary passes in the Austrian Bundesliga. And as we've seen with another young, talented player that came, also Eastern European player that came, in this case, from the Bundesliga. And then he came to Madrid, and he's absolutely been, he's disappeared, which is Jovic, Luka Jovic. So it's like, you know, can this possibly happen to Dominik Szoboszlai? Can he be in another situation like a Luka Jovic? And are we in a position to risk that? To risk buying somebody and bringing him in, and do we necessarily need? I mean, we have, yes. I mean, if we let Isco go, which is, he already expressed that he wants to leave in the midseason. I mean, in the January window, which I think is fine because I don't think Isco brings anything more to us. I think, you know, if we're getting rid of Isco and we're going to decide to bring somebody else to possibly mix up the midfield, then I do think Szoboszlai could be a good idea. But he isn't a guy that's going to change our season. You know, he's a young 20-year-old future prospect, and that's it. He's not the type of guy that's going to come in and just start banging in goals, which is what we need. You know, like the reason we're going after Haaland and we're going after Mbappe and those people have been talked about, or Neymar or whatever, is because those are tried and true players that are just already world class. I mean, Haaland at this point is already, even as he's a young player, he's already pretty much shown that, you know, he can score from whenever, wherever. And, you know, he's not playing at Eintracht Frankfurt. He's playing, you know, at Borussia, which has been a solid, you know, I think has brought solid talent for a long time. So, I mean, essentially, I think Haaland is more of the player that we want when Benzema's gone. We do need a backup for Benzema, but is Haaland going to be a backup? I mean, that's where you want Jovic to show up, but Jovic hasn't shown up. So hopefully we see more of Jovic. And I'm praying in a lot of ways because, like I said, I really like the kid. I was a fan when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt. I was a fan when they signed him. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be so amazing. You know, I remember speaking with a coworker who's from Madrid, actually, and is a socio for Real Madrid. And he's just, you know, we were getting conversations. We were just so excited about Jovic, and to see that not happen is just sad, you know, and I hope it turns around. But then again, I hope the whole season turns around, and I don't know. And that's the thing. It's like, where's that injection of, where is that injection of confidence going to come from in this team? Where is that injection going to come from? Is it going to come from Hazard having more than four games, you know, finally being healthy and just, you know, starting to show us the Hazard that was at Chelsea? Or is that guy gone forever? Which is, you know, another sad thing, because I love Hazard's attitude, man. I think he's such a, I think he's just such a great player. And it's just really sad to see that that's, this is what's happening to him. Where is that injection of talent going to come from? It's not going to come from Camavinga either, you know. It's another young prospect. He's going to, you know, play second string to Casemiro for sure. It's not going to come from Odegaard. You know, it's really got to come from a big name, world class player that we inject into the team. And the thing is, there are not a lot of them out there anymore. You know, there's only one Cristiano Ronaldo, and he was part of our team, and he's gone now. And he's also getting old. I mean, still, he's still banging in goals and looks awesome. But it's just, you know, those eras of players, you know, Galactico players. I mean, who can you name right now besides the Mbappe, besides Haaland, besides Neymar? Cristiano, Messi. You know, who are other players that we would say, you know, that are those, like, guys that are at the top, you know, just amazing talents? Maybe, I mean, you know, I like Sadio Mane. I think he's a talented player. I mean, I don't know if I'd put him, I don't think I put him on the same level as the guys I mentioned, of course. You know, and then you have players like, you know, Harry Kane's doing some amazing stuff. I think Heung-Min Son is a great player as well in the Premier League. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, but is it that, like, you know, those guys that are banging in 20, 30 goals per season, 40 goals per season, those guys aren't around anymore, man. There's not as much. You know, Ciro Immobile had a great season last season, but he, you know, he had a season he played at Dortmund, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't do well at Dortmund, and now he's doing well at Lazio, you know. So, but it's just, you know, you can, those guys are players for, like, the eras, you know, players for the ages, you know. I'm talking about, like, Cristiano and Messi, and Mbappe is up there, you know. I think Mbappe is up there, but, you know, he's still kind of had his ups and downs too. And I think Haaland, if he keeps on, you know, keeps on this role right now, is just one of those guys that's going to be up there. But who do we bring in? Where's the injection going to come from? You know, it's not, like I said, it's not changing Zidane. It's not bringing in, you know, we have to wait on these projects that are, you know, we're thinking about with Mbappe and Haaland or Neymar or whoever is, you know, we have to wait. And the thing is, Madridistas don't want to wait. And I think, you know, I think once we get guys, I think, when, you know, Sergio Ramos seems like he's going to be available for the Borussia game. You know, he's also a once in a lifetime sort of player as well. So, you know, when we don't have him, and I hope, you know, hopefully he renews, you know, with us. But those are the type of guys that it's just going to be difficult to change. I mean, Modric and Kroos. I mean, imagine, you know, Modric being gone, Kroos being gone. I think Fede is going to be already a solid player. Casemiro's got some, you know, still definitely more time in him. But it's a rebuilding. We're in a rebuilding situation. Nothing. I don't think we can look as Madridistas right now. You can look at it and say, you can look at, for me, you can't look at the global game of football and suddenly say, oh, there are world-class players out there that we can pick from and that are realistic, you know. Like, you know, I don't think, obviously, I don't think a Lewandowski's coming to Madrid. You know, we're going to shoot for somebody younger. Obviously, we're going to look for Haaland, you know. And then it's just who, what other guys are we going to, when are going to get, are we going to get? And they're all young. It's like we're trying to look for the new crop of talent. So it's a rebuilding phase, and I think people will have to take that into account. I still think we have chance. I still think we can win La Liga. It's going to take slip-ups from Atletico. It's going to take us, you know, we're going to have to beat them, obviously, in the Madrid Derby next weekend. And, you know, we're going to have to chip away at the points they earn, but they're also going to have to screw up too, you know. And for right now, they haven't. They haven't screwed up. They haven't been doing as well in Champions League, but they haven't screwed up in La Liga. So, you know, they're the team to beat right now in La Liga. I think Barcelona is in some hot water when it comes to La Liga. Definitely losing against Cadiz didn't help them, and so there's other teams that we'll have to deal with. And I still think there's a chance for us to turn it around for sure. Like, I still have faith in Zidane. I don't have much faith if we get rid of him. I don't have much faith in us turning it around. I don't think Pochettino is going to come and turn around. And I like Pochettino, you know. I don't think he's going to come and turn it around, though. It really all relies on us. We have to find a diamond in the rough. So, and is Szoboszlai the diamond in the rough? Sure, but I don't think we're going to see him change anything, even if we bring him. Might help here and there, but like I said, he's not going to be turning our season around by himself. What's going to turn our season around, guys, is having our, you know, ideal starting 11, you know, with Fede healthy and Modric healthy, Fede healthy and Hazard healthy and Sergio Ramos healthy and Dani Carvajal healthy and Odriozola, you know, as a backup to Carvajal. So we have, you know, our right backs and everybody just healthy. And so we have depth on the field. You know, Jovic, you know, also, you know, now he's over Corona, so that's good too. But all of those pieces being back is one step in the right direction. And then the next step in the right direction is, for lack of a better word, is for the guys that, you know, we need to wake the hell up. They need to wake the hell up. And I'm talking about like Asensio, Vinicius, Rodrigo. You know, we need to see more out of them. More out of them. It's like that's the type of turnaround that we need to get to. And Madrid's had these seasons in the past where they start off slow and then get better as the time goes on. So I think it's not, I mean, I try to be positive. But, you know, it's hard, and I know it. You know, but I know Madridistas, a lot of Madridistas want to change everything. They just want to change everything. You know, bring in a new coach and then sign up all these people in the winter, and then you'll bring Haaland and bring Mbappe and all this stuff. And I just don't think I don't realistically think that's going to happen. At least, you know, not right now. The rebuilding is going to take time, and we're gonna suffer more as Madridistas. So I think that's what it is what it is, guys. You know, I really pray that we do well against Borussia. I think we have what it takes to beat Borussia. I think we proved it in the first game that we have what it takes to beat Borussia, because essentially we dominated that game. I think it was one of the games where we looked absolutely fantastic up until Marcus Thuram scored his first goal. And then it's kind of like they fell apart. But we looked a much better team against Borussia when we played that day. We looked like a more solid team than they are. They just took their chances and scored. We need to take our chances and score them and put them away early. And that is the way we'll beat that team. Essentially, you know, they allowed us to attack for about 20 minutes, and then on the first time they had a chance to score, they scored. So you have to play cautious with them, because they're quick in the sense that they're quick to counter, and, you know, with Alessandro Plea and, you know, they have and Marcus Thuram, they have, you know, very quick players that can and that are devastating in the sense that they can score very quickly. But so we have to play cautious and be strong in our defense and not lose our heads and just attack and press too high and then be caught out, because that's been a lot of the times our situation, I think, with Madrid, is they press forward and they throw so many numbers forward and you know, Ramos goes up and everyone's caught up, and then on the counter we're like, we're not fast enough to come back. We're just not there, you know. And right now we don't have, you know, the back line, as long as we have, you know, if we have Vasquez back there, I think I'll be confident, definitely a little bit more confident now that we can hopefully, you know, and I think it looks like we're going to have Sergio Ramos back for that, and we're going to have Varane. I'm going to be a little bit more confident now, but it's going to be a tough game, but I think we can win it because Madrid does a good job when their backs are against the wall. That's how we've been this season and kind of towards the end of last season. So when our backs are against the wall, we've been able to perform. So I think we're going to come away from the Borussia Mönchengladbach game. That's a mouthful of a team. Solid. What happens after that? It's anyone's guess. I just want, you know, honestly, as a Madridista, I want us to make it to January. I want us to make it to the transfer window. See what we can do there. See if we bring in some, you know, if we bring in Dominic Szoboszlai, you know, like I said, he's not going to change anything, but it's good. He's talented. You never know. He might do something positive. But besides that, I mean, it's getting there and then getting our players back. And I think we have a chance. And do we have a chance in Europe? I think that's going to be the most difficult thing. But I do think we have a chance in La Liga, and I think we can turn this around, and I think Zidane can turn it around, and I'm still confident. I just know that if he loses, we're done. You know, we're done in the sense that Zidane's going to be gone, and I just don't think that changing him is going to change anything. So, all right, at the risk of not speaking in circles, because I think I've said everything I wanted to say, I think I'll end it here. My power went out, and so I couldn't record this in one go. I had to record it in a couple different tries. So that was kind of an issue. But besides that, you know, thank you guys for listening. And you know, I think the other thing that I wanted to say is I don't talk about it a lot. Managing Madrid actually has a good podcast about the women's La Liga Iberdrola. I think, you know, congratulations to the ladies of Madrid. I think they're doing amazing for it being their first full season. I think I haven't been able to watch the games because I can't catch where they're at. But I've been following them on Twitter, and I follow, you know, everything they're doing on a lot of the players on Instagram. And I think it's amazing what they're doing. The women's team, 5-2, they won against Sevilla on the same day that, you know, we defeated Sevilla 1-0. So, solid, you know. Madrid Femenino is doing some pretty good stuff, so shout out to them. And I know, man, like I said, Managing Madrid does a podcast on them, so I listen to them occasionally, and it's cool to see that Madrid's kind of, you know, making waves in the women's division too. I'm cool with that. So a la Madrid in that sense, you know, everywhere. All right, guys, with that said, thank you for listening. I kind of rambled on in a couple of different things, but I had like a lot of things in my mind, especially with what's going on with kind of the transfer window and Sevilla and the ups and downs. It's kind of hard. It's definitely hard to be positive, you know? So it's hard to be positive right now. It's hard to be a Madridista right now. We're so used to suffering. That's what I see on Twitter. Everyone's used to like suffering, you know? All right. So with that said, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. My name is Eric Rivera, and this was Y Nada Más, el Real Madrid podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Y Nada Más podcast. You can also check us out on our website at ynadamás.net. That's where you can find our articles from our good friend Trambak B, and, you know, articles from hopefully somebody else, some more people that come on and jump on board with us. As well, you can find the podcast episodes there, the articles. And if you want to follow the podcast and tell your friends about it, remember that we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We are on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. We are also on the iHeartRadio app, so you can check us out there. Please leave a comment and a rating if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts. That helps us grow in their amazing library of podcasts and helps us grow up the ranks. So thank you very much to all of you that have commented, that have left ratings, that have told friends about us. We've been seeing it in the numbers rising up from all over the world. So, you know, salutations to all the Madridistas all around the world. Thank you very much for listening. And I'll catch you guys again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.